Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Survive.
I'm so glad
as it relates to across America. Survive and now get on.
Dead real. Yo, why is Jada kiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they party a set? And why they never get it popping but they party to death? Yeah, and why they gonna give you life for a murder? Turn around, only give you 8 months for a burner. Going down, why they selling people CDs for under a dime? And if it's all love, daddy, why you come with your nine? Why my homies ain't get that cake? Why is the brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break? Why you in stack instead of trying to be fly? Why is ratting at an all-time high? Why are you even alive? Why they kill Tupac and Chris? Why at the bar you don't take straight shots instead of popping Chris? Why them bullets have to hit that door? Why did Kobe have to hit that raw? Why he kiss that raw? Why?
Got me in the system. Why they gotta do me like that? Try to make it my way, but got sin on up the highway.
ain't pull out his Ferrari? Why he take that bike? Why they gotta open your package and read your mail? Why they stop letting brothers get degrees in jail? Why you gotta do 85% of your time? And why do rappers lie in 85% of their rhymes? Why brother always want what he can't have? Why I can't come through in the pecan jack? Why they crack have to hit so hard? Even though it's so
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show. We actually were having a mic disorder, so I'm switching mics just to let all of you know that, and we are back. So let me start this show over. I want to thank God again for being here another day. I want to welcome everybody to the On the Edge show. Sorry, now we have an echo. Hang on a sec. All right, here we go. I want to thank everybody who have been listening into the On the Edge show since we got started in May. We are officially now at 8,667 listeners. I can't say thank you enough. Apparently, all of my Facebook listeners have been the biggest traffic directors over to the show. So I want to thank all of you listeners from Facebook very much so, and most of you have been my teenage listeners that I've been noticing. So I want to thank you guys very much for paying attention and listening, because apparently what we've been saying you've been adhering to and you've been learning. Some of the other things that I would like to say is that we also have other people more from community agencies that have actually been chiming in and saying thank you. So now, tonight, we are going to speak on another very important subject, which is called Parent-Teacher Disassociation. School safety is at risk. The concerns for school safety is crazy. So before I do that, let me holler out to my affiliates and do a couple of special shout-outs today. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio, now of isolradio.com on Sundays from 6 to 10, and CEO of Track One Entertainment. He is our show's official consultant, and he has been wonderful in helping us make sure that everything we want to do with the show is right for us and right for you guys. On top of all that, he has one of the biggest, hottest entertainment companies that bring some great events, the Grown and Sexy Party, the R&B events that you see mostly out in Brooklyn and in Manhattan, but when you see it and when you go there, you're never disappointed. So moving right along to that, I'm going to go to the next people who's involved with that, and that's my two divas out there, Marcia Morgan and Stephanie Hammond-Tillette from Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment. Now, you put these two companies together and those three people together, and you're never going to go wrong with a party or an event that they put together, these three guys. So now, speaking of parties, Mr. Derek Bell, you out there? Well, I'm going to tell you this. Happy birthday after the fact, even though I was there for your birthday, because I just came from one of the hottest parties in Brooklyn on Saturday, given to Mr. Derek Bell. He had a great birthday party. Stephanie George from the Bad Girls Atlanta Club was there. For me, it got crazy at the end, but it was a great, great, great event, and it was fun, and he was a great host and a great birthday boy, and everything, the food was wonderful, the partying was happening, and it was an off-the-hook event. So I want to give credit to Stephanie Hammond-Tillette and Marcia Morgan and Derek for it being a wonderful event, okay? So if you're out there listening, Derek, my shout-out to you and much love, bro, okay? And I hope you had a great birthday and that all of us knowing each other and learning, you know, meeting each other was a good experience, okay? So without further ado, we're going to go into our topic for tonight, and that is going to be parent-teacher disassociation. School safety issues are a concern, and our children's safety is at risk. And what that is that there's more gang activity in public schools now. There's prostitution happening right in the classrooms. There's children coming to school as early as 8 years old with guns. There's seven-year-olds telling seven-year-old girls that they're going to rape them. There are things going on in schools, and it's becoming a problem to the point where it's criminal now. It's blatantly criminal. And there is a common factor beneath it that let it get to this point in the first place. And besides what we can't control, which is the organized crime that's out there, what we haven't been able to do is we have not been able to have our leadership connection in place. Before I continue with this, let me bring this caller in. And caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Katie, it's Derek.
Hi, Derek. I'm sorry. I think I saw you there coming and you bounced in and out. Happy belated birthday, even though I was there for your birthday. It was a great party. I want to tell you thank you for, you know, having us on and having us do it. And I was glad to be there. So I hope you had fun.
Yeah, I did. I did. And I enjoyed you a lot. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming.
You are very welcome, and I'm very happy to have been there. Everything was wonderful, and I'm glad you had a good birthday, and thank you for stopping by on the show, too.
No problem, no problem, anytime.
Okay, thanks, man. I've got to go back to my topic. I will talk to you soon, or you can hang around and listen in if you like.
I definitely will.
All right, hon.
All right.
Okay, listeners, that was the birthday boy from the event that we were talking about, so I just wanted to let you know. Well, getting back to our topic, our schools are now becoming a very big criminal breeding ground. I have five reports sitting in front of me right now about things going on in the schools. And on top of that, the city doesn't want to pay these school safety officers properly. Now, I wouldn't doubt if they decided to all have a union strikeout or whatever the case is, you know, it's crazy. This is a hard thing to do, but at the same token, disgruntled workers put our children at risk. So you don't want to pay a worker, a safety officer, the right amount of benefits or whatever, you're putting our children at a huge risk because now they're disgruntled and all that our children know is metal detectors going to school. And having full-fledged patrol officers being outside their classroom and having their child go to school and not have to be able to feel safe, this is crazy. So now the question is, what exactly is it that we should do with each other? What we should do now is start really attending those PTA meetings. I don't care if it's not something that you've been doing for some time or that it's you feel it's too late. It's not too late. As long as your child is still walking around, as long as your child is still breathing and is still being able to get up the next day, you will have an opportunity to fight and make a difference. There is too many things going on in the schools now that actually come from a lot of parents not knowing what's going on with their child's behavior in school, as well as not seeing signs that's going on from home. And this is not putting off any type of blame game to parents, meaning that they're bad parents or they're not taking care of their children. It simply means that especially if you're a single parent, you're working most of the time, and it's not always so easy to be on top of every little thing that your children are doing, especially your high school children. But you need to take a minute out to go and have a parent-teacher conference or speak to the counselors or speak to the officers, not just your teachers, the teachers involved. You know, your children are being seen by other officials in the hallways of the schools that see them often, and if your child is a repeat offender of things that, you know, the officials call troublemaking, you might want to talk to everybody involved. Our children are going to school and being metal detected. There's a report sitting in front of me about three or four canisters full of confiscated weapons that school officials have taken from children as young as 8 years old. The gangs are recruiting our children straight or out of the school grounds. Girls are performing sexual favors right in the classrooms for dollars in junior high school. The cops are aware of some of this, and most of them say that their hands are tied because they don't get help. But yet, if they're getting help, the people that are trying to help them become suspects in their mind. But one of the other problems that's happening is that the stereotyping for these children in these schools in certain neighborhoods in certain areas is stopping the police from actually just getting to the bottom of it. And then, of course, our own resentment with the police because of what we feel that they're doing with us is stopping this. Is the communication gap is not being bridged very well. And in the meantime, our children are suffering. They're getting sucked into this black hole of criminal stuff. So how long are we going to sit here and not do a thing? Our children are going to school, and they're not coming just out with math books and math homework anymore. They're coming out with somebody's drug pouches. They're coming out with this idea that they have to belong to a gang, that they have to be hard and come to school with weapons. Some kids are being bullied and feel like no one can do anything about it, so the only thing they have left is to bring a weapon to school. There's no more guidance counselors that's there to help give a darn about what's going on with these children. They're too busy either running for their life or just trying to get back home to their own life, do their 9-to-5 in the schools or their 8-to-3s or whatever it is, and be gone. Safety issues are a problem for our children. They're no longer able to just learn in peace anymore. Now, one of the things that is going on in schools, which I've heard a lot, is that those people, those groups in the school that are trying to do something is not getting parent support. Now, as a former PTA president, I can tell you that that is a very true statement. All right? Everybody wants so much to happen, but the things that it takes to happen, you're not getting the participation that you need. You're not getting full support that you need. So who does this fail? Does it fail us? We've been through our school. We've already grown up. We've been through the channels and emotions of high school. This is affecting our children. If the parents could communicate with the teachers and have that type of rapport where these teachers could feel comfortable and coming home to you and saying to you, your child is acting like a total idiot in class today, or your child said something very, very unacceptable, or your child hit a person or bullied a person. If that official could feel comfortable enough to approach your child and then be able to approach you as well, and the two of you get together for this child, and then the two of you can put pressure on the community leaders to put in place all the safety measures and the reinforcements that are needed for these children. But if the leadership is broken from home and on, it's not going to work, and these children are going to hell in a handbasket. As much as all of us think a PTA meeting might not be so important, it is. It's not just about voting on budgeting for the school. It's voting on, and it's talking about incidents that are taking place in the school, parent concerns, children's concerns. It's a place where if you come to the PTA meetings with your children can say what they're going through in a place where they feel safe at. But they're not sitting directly across from the bully in the same classroom. They're sitting in an after-hours event with their parents, and they feel comfortable enough to say, this is what I'm going through, and I wish that somebody could change this. I've gone to this person, and they've done nothing. I do have a panelist on the line, and I'm going to bring them in. We're going to take a very, very, very short break, one small break, so that we can get this mics back in order and make sure everything's okay, and I will be back here. We're going to start with Joe's compromise, and I'll be back in a minute.
nobody hurt you now. I had them all chick after chick, and I let them go when they said to me, you couldn't tell me,
tell me
what I was missing. Oh,
too many hurts, too many feelings.
Shouldn't be easy just to say I'm changing, I'm walking away.
Tonight is about school safety, and I'm speaking more in terms of where it is that it kind of going wrong at, and where we can start fighting back, because we have to fight back. This is completely crazy what's going on. There are many gang members in there, young gang members. There's younger kids selling drugs. There's younger girls indulging in prostitution. Right in the classroom, I have an article, okay?
Okay.
Right here from the Daily News in New York City. The Daily News. It is called, and this was just published, let me get the date. Oh, today, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, today. This was published today. DailyNews.com. Violence, gangs, dangerous weapons in the classroom. Shocking safety agents lawsuit paint deplorable portrait of city school. Because right now there's a class action lawsuit against, I guess, the Board of Ed, I'm not sure, from the safety workers, stating that they're facing a hell of a lot more danger and life-threatening situations in these schools than they're getting paid to do. And they're not given the safety gear they needed. For example, bulletproof vests. They're not getting fair pay, according to one veteran school safety agent. There's 5,000 school safety officers, and they're overworked and underpaid. They're watching children in the hallways and, you know, indulge in prostitution and gang activity. Junior high school girls selling sexual favors for $1. Kids bringing guns and butcher knives to class. Gangs and violence rampant in public schools.
Wow. That's crazy just hearing that the doing sexual favors for a dollar. That's wow. I never heard of that one before.
Some girls that think that they're doing something big and great and not realizing exactly what they're selling away for that dollar.
That's crazy. That one I never heard of. I mean, doing a sexual favor. Well, I mean, I've heard of, you know, for an orphan to be initiated into a gang. Yeah, that females, they will do sexual favors. I didn't know that the one with the dollar thing, that's a new one for me. You know, I mean, I've heard of girls that in order for them to get into it again, so, you know, they have to do sexual favors. I heard that alone. I heard for guys, they have to do something, you know, it's something usually stupid and crazy, like slash someone or steal something or whatever. I mean, I really don't know what the initiations are now, but then, you know, to do sexual favors for a dollar, that's like, you know, that's new. That's new for what I'm hearing.
Oh, there's a junior high school in Queens. Apparently it was junior high school 190. The gangs are so powerful to one female student that she felt compelled. She was compelled to have sex with 17 boys, sometimes at school, and became a member. A safety agent testified, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's like, and these safety agents and school staff were unable to stop this process. You know, that's what's being
done. Yeah.
And the only way she can get out is to be beat up really bad. You know,
wow. Gangs are never going to die. It's going to keep on going. More's going to come out. Some are going to die, yeah. I mean, some gangs will die slowly, but then new ones always develop. New ones always develop. And the new ones are the more reckless ones, you know? I mean, even, you know, when I was in school, when we were in school, it was the same thing. Like, back then, I think they called it, what was it? There was the Latin Kings, the Latin Queens, the Nietas, the who else? The La Familia, there's like a whole bunch of them, you know, that's out there. And now the Bloods, the Crips, I have no idea. I don't know what kind of retarded name to give themselves now. But it's like it just gets either worse and worse. I mean, with the Latin Kings and Latin Queens, I guess they calmed down and they sort of, from what I haven't heard about them since, they disappeared. The Nietas also, they also disappeared too through time. They're still around, but not as strong as before. These gangs, they are around, but not as, you know, I mean, like I said, the younger the gang is, the worse, the more reckless they are. The more dumb stuff they do, you know, and that's what got to do with the control of the school, the parents, and the parents have to push the kids to, you know, say, listen, you don't need to go into a gang to show that you are strong. Just you standing alone is strong enough, and not everybody does that, and there are parents that they're involved in gangs as well, and they think it's okay. Katie? Uh-oh, that happened. Okay.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show. Again, we went out in cyberspace with the mic problems here. So we are back. Elaine was in the middle of talking about us with these safety issues in schools nowadays and what it is that parents need to do now. We have a hard fight with this. There are children that are eight years old bringing guns to school, second graders talking about raping their classmates. There are junior high school children that are soliciting themselves for sex and for money in schools, and the safety officers are not being able to do anything about it. So she was explaining what she saw and what she felt at the same time. So I'm going to bring her back in to continue a point. And I see you, panelists. I'll be bringing you in a few seconds after. Elaine, go ahead and continue your point, honey.
Okay. I hope my phone doesn't drop it. I think it was my side that dropped it. I'm having a lot of issues on my side, too, because it's like the satellite is really messed up with my phone. But you hear me? Did I lose you? Katie?
Yes, say that again.
Okay, I thought I lost you for a second. Okay, I don't remember how far, how much I said, but the point about the part that you just mentioned about kids bringing guns to school, knives, but it, not only guns, knives, because I've heard kids bring knives to school, and, I mean, very young ages, too. I've heard kids talk so much garbage on what they want to do, and these are, like, 9-10-year-olds who are already talking about sex. I'm like, wait a minute, what do you know about that? You know, and you wonder, how much do these kids know? What are these kids learning at school? It's not only at school, around their neighborhood and at home. And we hear these weird things that come out of these kids' mouths. You're like, wait a minute, you know, who taught you that? How you know that it goes there? How you know what is that meant for? You know, and, I mean, it's creepy. It's really creepy in a way that these kids already know about that. I mean, I remember walking around my area and hearing this 10-year-old boy saying what he's going to do with his thing to that girl. I'm like, ew. What do you know? I shake him. What is wrong with you? You don't talk like that, really. I mean, you wonder about these kids. And they're hanging out, like, around, it's like 11 o'clock at night, and these kids are, like, 13 and under. All right, I'm going to put up the maximum 15 and under, hanging out, and just, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, not upstairs in their home. I'm like, geez, it's, like, so dangerous outside. This last year, a kid was, a 15-year-old was killed for his jacket, you know, and these kids were 15 and under, are hanging out on the streets like nothing.
It's sad,
you know,
now.
It's like you wonder.
I'm believing right now. I mean, I know we have a hell of a fight because this is a very rough and tough and nasty world, but we can't, I mean, it's our children. And as much as, you know, it's been there, done that type thing, it's not that same situation for now. These are our kids. As long as they wake up every morning with another day of life to go back to that school or go back, you have to do your part to fight. Now, as I was saying earlier, as a former PTA president, one of the things that I had to agree with the officials about when I was doing my survey here was that parents are not participating where it counts, which means in these PTA meetings, these conferences about their child, because let's speak about the children that are the bullies, okay? Children that are there. Listen, if would this child have continued or been able to continue to be a bully if those parents had attended a parent-teacher conference and have been able to hear from the beginning that this child has been exhibiting signs of bad behavior that inflicted harm upon others? And I'm not saying that this is a magic trick, so don't get me wrong, because I'm a mother myself. And I don't have a perfect life or a perfect way to say things, but I do know that if someone was to tell me that my child was busy trying to scare children in the class by bullying them, he would have got bullied himself when he got home.
That's
now,
right.
Do these officials feel comfortable enough to be able to approach your child and then approach you with what was approached to your child with? Because that is where it starts. The two leaders and their two first leaders in their early life is their parents and their teachers. And if those two can bridge a gap and the child understands that the teacher is going to be able to tell my parents something and I don't want my parents to hear that, then when those two people get together, then they can put pressure on the community leaders to make sure that the safety is in place. Right now, like the 5,000 safety workers in New York City for the schools are busy trying to do a class action lawsuit because they hear they're being faced with. Whatever that noise is, it's got to end.
Right.
There's some noise coming through. I don't know what it is, but it's stopping. It's echoing through the mic. But there's 5,000 school safety workers in New York City public schools. They're all going on a class action lawsuit because they feel they're not being given the proper safety tools, the proper pay, and the proper support that they need to fight the big challenges they have in these school hallways. They watched a girl get gang initiated sexually with 17 boys having sex on the school grounds, and they couldn't really do anything about it. They don't have bulletproof vests, and if they're disgruntled, then our children are going to be disgruntled because our children are not, they're not going to want to protect our children at the expense of their own life. So that is the problem there. Now, we have another panelist coming in. We have another panelist coming in, and I'm going to bring them in so they can help. They can add their input to this point, this conversation tonight. So just hang on a second. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, ladies. How are you? God bless you and your family.
Good evening, Deacon. How are you?
All right, all right, all right. I've had better days, but, you know, God is in control, so I know it's going to get better, so.
Yes,
yeah,
amen.
That is true.
I was listening in, and you're talking about the guns being brought into schools, and, you know, there are a lot of things being brought into the schools, and it's not just guns, and that's only because today's society is allowing it. The things that they're allowing in the schools and the things that they have pushed out of the schools are the exact things that need to be brought back into the schools. And that includes the, first of all, prayer.
Absolutely.
Prayer needs to be established back in the schools before. There's no way you can make me understand that if prayer is brought into the school, that it should offend anybody. If you feel like this, a prayer is made in school and it offends you, you don't need to be there and you don't need to be in this country because for the simple fact, this country was founded on Christianity. And for us as the United States of America to allow foreigners to come into our country to become American citizens and then have a problem with the way we pray and the way we raise our children in our schools, to where it's gotten to the point to where they don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance to in the schools anymore. How can that be offensive to something in your own country? Now, believe me, if we were to go to any of these people's countries where they come from over here to receive this God-given freedom over here, believe me, they would probably hang us if we complained about any of their cultural states that they have over there.
Absolutely.
And it's time for us to stop sucking up to the people that come into this country. You have people that are becoming American citizens that can't even speak our language. You can't hardly understand what they're saying. And you're allowing them to be American citizens. If you can't speak this form of English over here in the United States at a certain amount of time, I give them 6 months. If you don't learn it by then, you can't become an American citizen. They make it so easy. That's why we have all types of criminals that we have in the country now and a lot of the crimes that are going on because we have gotten so far away from the word of God that it's scary. And with these guns and these children that are causing some of these problems in the schools, it starts at the foundation at home. You have a lot of these so-called parents, instead of being parents, they're trying to be their friends. Parents and friendship do not mix. You can't be both. You just can't. It's not going to work. That's like trying to mix oil with water. You're not going to get the two to come together.
Right.
It's not going to. And it's about time for us as real concerned parents and parents that are trying to be parents with our kids to start standing up and start being the squeaky wheel on this wagon, because it's not enough noise being made on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to start taking this thing a lot more serious because we are losing our children every day to these streets, and the streets will eat them alive. They're either going to wind up in the penitentiary, or you might as well go ahead and make sure you get your insurance, your life insurance paid up on these kids because they're dying. That needs to stop, most definitely. It needs to stop. And I know I've experienced death in my family. I've lost grandchildren. I've lost nieces, I lost nephews, I've lost godchildren, and I'm tired. I'm at the point to where I'm tired. It's time for us to stand up and stop accepting all of these things that are going on to us and the stuff that this government is trying to feed us and tell them, hey, let us start back being parents and quit worrying about if we're abusing our children, because there's a big difference between discipline and abuse when it comes to our children. Okay, I can understand. I'm against violence against children or child abuse, period. But I'm not against disciplining my child.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to discipline my child to the point that where he has to be put in the hospital. No, I'm going to discipline him enough so when I get through disciplining him, I will sit him or her down and explain to them why they are being punished. That is not being done today. You have so many so-called parents pushing their kids out into the street just so they can get peace of mind. That's not being a parent.
Nope.
Not at all. What happened to the days when you sit down at the table and eat have a meal together and talk about how each individual at their table's day went. You don't do that anymore. You have to know what's going on in these kids' minds. You have to know that everything that they go through is got to be important to you because you're the parent. If it's something you have to know, it from the beginning. It's just like a snake. You got to cut it off at the head to stop the problem before it really erodes into something worse.
Right.
You know, it's so many people in today's society, they want to walk around bumping their gums, and that's all they want to do. They just want to talk, that's it. But when it comes to walking the walk, where are you? And it seems like your phone lines ought to be overflowing right now with concerned parents coming together, and let's come together and put our heads together and come up with some type of solution. Let's put pressure back on the city government, federal government. And let's let these schools know, hey, our children are in your hands. We're putting our trust in you, and we will participate in the school's activities. If there are PTA meetings that needs to be attended, we need to be there.
That's right.
Schools are not babysitters.
Yep.
They're there to teach, sure enough, but you have to start the basic foundation for them to go into these schools and learn. They have to be, and it has to be embedded in them that they're going to school for one reason and one reason only, and that is to learn and to be respectful to those teachers. I know I've gone on and on and on for a while, but this is real a passionate thing for me as far as with the children, because they're supposed to be our future.
Right.
If we're not planting a seed into them to carry on our legacy, what sense is there even to have kids? I mean, we might as well just let them go on and run them up.
That's right.
Come on, the Bible says, teach the child in the way they should go. And a lot of these children are not having any type of direction on which way to go because they don't know their excuse the expression, their ass from their elbows. And that needs to stop. We need to cut it off at the head right now before it's too late. And it's never too late when it comes to the children in today's society. It's never too late because it was never too late when I was coming up. And I wasn't an ideal child, and I had parents that were concerned about me, but I was just a hard head. And there's still a lot of hard heads out here in these streets today, you know, mm-hmm. But it just takes some time and effort to show them that somebody really does care about them. You might not think you're getting through to them, and just like a lot of people didn't think they were getting through to me. But here I am today to pass on the word to these other young people out here that, hey, these streets are no joke. If you're not strong enough to survive, you will be eaten alive.
Yep.
Okay, I'm done. For now. I'm done for now.
So I have a friend of mine, right? I saw him yesterday. He was really upset. He was angry. And all he put himself out is that he has a 14-year-old son. And his son just disappeared. He didn't get home until 9 o'clock. And he's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to surprise my son. Let's see what happens. So he shows up late at the grandmother's house. His son was expected to show up at the grandmother's house. So he stood there waiting, and lo and behold, he shows up at 9 o'clock. It's okay, what are you doing so late at night coming home now? Oh, I went out to something to eat. He said, no, that's not an excuse. He was leaving home a long time ago. Oh, I just got to work. I found there was no food. I stepped back out. But no, you should have done that before you got home. So you wouldn't be able to get home at 9 o'clock and see my face. And the boy was like going back and forth with him, and he's like, no, you're wrong. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's dangerous outside. You are not supposed to be stepping outside at all. If you want anything to eat, you could have asked me. I would have gotten you something, and that was it. And the boy said, he said, listen, if anything happens to you outside and the police just takes you in and pulls you over to, who do you think are they going to bring you over to? And he said, oh, you know, my grandmother, my dad. He said, keep on. He said, my dad. He went, right, your father. He said, bring you straight over to me. And I have to explain to them why we are outside with those kids, why we are outside with a whole lot of money and some guy was trying to grab it. And the kids just got paid, too. You know?
Right.
So, you know, kids are careless, they're reckless, they just pull out a whole lot of cash and a bunch of idiots are around looking at them. But, you know, I don't want you coming back at home so late at night. It was the second time, because the first time, supposedly he was somewhere out on a date with the girlfriend's mother, too. So it's the son, the girlfriend, and the girl's mother. He didn't get home until 10 o'clock at night, and he went off on his son. He said, no, why are you out late at night? And the mother's like, oh, but he was nice. She was with me. He said, no, that's not an excuse. He is my son. Anything happens to him, I'm involved with this, not you, not
right.
your daughter.
Right.
You know, and I mean, you know, he's playing a role. He's doing it the right way. He's disciplining his kid like, no, you are wrong for doing this. You are too young to be going out late at night and going out with a girlfriend. So
right.
I don't know who gave you permission to do that. Well, the mother of the girl is like, oh, it's okay. You know, keep, you know, don't yell at him. And he's like, no, you don't tell me what to do with my son. He is wrong for doing this.
Right.
And, I mean, that's how it is with parents today. It's like, you're disciplining your child, and all of a sudden another parent gets involved. Oh, don't talk to them like that. You know, you don't want them to go, excuse me, I'm talking to them like that so I can avoid for them to do whatever bad in the future.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of parents that they do that. They get themselves involved, and you're like, wait a minute. I'm talking to my kid. Where you come from getting involved in my conversation with my daughter?
Right.
I remember I was walking
right.
with my daughter down the street, and I was telling her, don't you ever do this in school. Don't you ever do that in school. I want you to behave in school. And I'm talking to her, and a person comes out of nowhere says, don't you ever yell at your child again. How dare you? I said, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you butt into my conversation? Did I invite you? You know, but I'm mentally abusing my child. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm telling her what she's doing wrong, and I don't want her doing it again. If I don't tell her anything,
right.
she's going to keep on doing it. It's my
right.
own business. So the lady turned around, she left in my own business. You know, there are people like that they butt in, and then you're stuck on the conclusion like, okay, should I yell at my kid? Should I not yell at my kid? Should I discipline my kid? Should I not discipline my kid? You know, and it's like
right.
people butt in, and it's none of their business.
Right, right. You see, I would welcome somebody to get into a conversation if I'm trying to discipline my child. I've got something for them, believe me, and I let them have it both barrels. And there's
yeah.
another thing that's going on with the children in society today is that they're getting so comfortable with some of these parents that are trying to be their friends and parents at the same time, they don't realize you're rubbing on a stick of dynamite, because when the older that child gets, the less respect he or she is
yeah.
going to have for you. And there's going to be a time where you're going to have a confrontation, and that confrontation might get violent. But I can tell you
That's
this
right.
much. Any one of my children would ever think, even have the thought of raising their hand to me or their mother, I will put my foot on his neck.
That's right.
And believe me, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm at an age now to where my mother is 85 years old. Right now, to this day, there's a fear in me if she heard a curse word come out of my mouth.
Wow.
You know, and that's the way it should be with your parents, period. It says honor thy mother and thy father so your lives may be long and prosperous. And if you don't do
right.
that, the word means what it says. You know, I don't have any type of respect for any young person that thinks he's gotten so high on himself or smelling his own urine where he thinks he can put his hand on his mother or his father. You know, I will a person like that I will put through a wall. And the only
mm-hmm.
reason why my reaction would be that is because I had to watch and see how my father was violent against my mother, and then I had to put my brother in place at one time because he thought he was going to put his hand on my mother, and I almost threw him out of a window. But
wow.
after that, I didn't have to worry about it again, because that's mom. You only have one.
Yeah,
you only
have
one.
Mom.
And God bless the fathers, too. And the fathers, I'm not saying anything to make you feel bad, but God bless the fathers that are still in their children's lives. Even if they are
right.
not with the mother and you're being a part of their lives, I have to commend you on that. But like I said, you only get one mother. She is the one that carried you all those months, and death passed over her. So she deserves all the utmost respect, you know. And I say that to any woman and to any woman that's having a problem with their child. And if I happen to be there and there's a confrontation with your child, I don't think I want to be there because I don't have any respect for a young man or even an older man to put his hand on a woman. If a man puts his hand in a woman, it should be to pleasure that woman and nothing else.
Right.
So it's just like it just really agitates me the way society is going, and it seems like we're not having more people to speak out on it. We have all these so-called community leaders. Okay, what? Why y'all not stepping up and speaking on issues like this? Okay, it's not. Is it not newsworthy on these children dying? Come on now. We're doing all this for this. God bless Trayvon Martin and his family, but we have children that are dying every day, not just from another race, but from their own races. Mm-hmm. Come on, we gotta address these issues. Let's keep it on the forefront.
That's right.
If we stop it with our own people, hey, it's gonna spread on to the other races too. It's not just a black and white thing. You got this thing that's going on every day. And
Absolutely.
It has to stop somewhere.
Absolutely.
We have to all be on a unified front. You know, God bless Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, but you guys have gotten too commercial, and it's all about the
too
dollar
commercial.
Bill to you guys now. And I hope somewhere they're hearing my voice, because I'm not the only one that's thinking this. You know, there are other issues that you should be tackling.
I'm like, you know what? Whatever. They're too damn cocky. They're too damn fake right now for me to actually accept them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't. I don't even consider them. Leaders anymore, because they're so locked into they go where the money is, and it's not about money. This is about lives, people. You know, it's not about the money.
It isn't. It's about your children's safety. And one of the things that we have to bring back up again is whether or not they haven't been to a PTA meeting in 2 school years. Right now, you need to go to one. You need to hear what the concerns in your children's school are, whether it's directly your child or not. You need to find out what the PTA and the school officials are trying to organize to fight these bad things. You need to find out who it is that's the known whatever contributors. You need to be aware of all of these things. And if you're not there to find out, then you're going to be stuck in the middle of your child being swept up into something that they felt couldn't be addressed because no one was listening. And I say this all the time. Our children's first leaders are their parents.
Right.
So the leadership, the command, the chain of command and leadership starts with God to the parent to the child. When the child goes to school, the next step of people is that they see are their teachers. Now, if the parents and the teachers can't be together, then the next step is the church leaders. And if these parents and teachers and church leaders can't be together, then the politicians aren't going to do anything.
Right.
The cops are pretty much aware of who every gang member is, who every gang house is. They're not making a damn move.
No.
Because half of the time, the witnesses that are coming up to say anything to them are being stereotyped by these cops or believed to be suspects themselves. So here we go again. We're back to the same old vicious cycle. So nothing's getting done. But okay, parents, this is your children. We all have to stand together and go to where it counts. Mumbling in the corner is not going to make a move. I say this as a former PTA president because I went through banging heads on the wall to try to get people to listen to us to come to a meeting. This is not, the PTA is not just something that you sit there and go, oh boy, it's one of those again. No, they're not just talking about how you're spending school funds. They're talking about things like, listen, we noticed there was gangs around the corner. We noticed that there's a broken video surveillance camera. These are things they're talking about that affects your children. And if you can't make it to a PTA meeting, you damn sure better make it to your parent-teacher conference for your kid. You need to find out if your child is being a victim of or being the bully to a victim.
Right.
Because it starts at home. I can guarantee you that half of these young bullies that are out there wouldn't be such big bullies if their mothers and fathers put their foot up their behind.
You got that right.
That's right.
And even if there was something there, listen, I've got big, tall sons too. They're not all the time. They're not disrespectful. They're gonna be teens. They're gonna come out their face and shoot their mouth at certain points in time. You need to sit there and let them know who's the boss. And if the government would take the hell out of your living room when it comes to disciplining your children, and the cops would stop stereotyping your children, maybe we'd get somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
But it starts with the parents opening their mouth and having an outburst and an outcry about the fact that their child is involved in something. Start taking a look. Is your child acting all of a sudden super aggressive? Is your child starting to wear things that they never wore before because it looks like that's what the crowd is doing?
Right.
These are the things that you need to look at and see, and you got to figure out how many people that can make a difference can come and help you along. It does take a village to raise one child, one. And now the communities are not paying. The Board of Ed isn't paying these safety workers for the schools, these public safety workers, the right money or giving them the right amount of whatever. Our children aren't going to school with their book bags anymore. They're going to school through metal detectors.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Are they going to school to the damn prison to visit somebody? This is where the difference should be. Are these children going to school, or are they going to go visit somebody in Rikers freaking Island? Our children should understand there's a culture in each place that they go. A culture at home, a culture in church, and a culture in school. And, of course, when you go to work. It shouldn't be the culture of you having to be patted down and taser searched to find out if you've got anything metal in your pockets or in your crotch somewhere. They're supposed to go to school to learn and to feel safe.
Yep.
That's right.
13-year-old girls are not supposed to be going to school and figuring that algebra is equivalent to getting on her knees and taking a dollar to put her mouth where it doesn't belong. Parents, wake up. You have to start making a move, whether people think you're that nosy neighbor or not. These are our children. And everybody is seeing exactly what Lady Diamond said. Gangs ain't going anywhere, but you know something? The fight shouldn't go anywhere either.
That's right. That's right.
The fight shouldn't go anywhere either. We should sit there and say, listen, you could do this all you want. If it takes us doing whatever, we still got to fight. This is our kid.
That's right.
It's scary as hell, yes it is, because that's what mobs do. They get together in the mob to scare you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Our children are being prostitutes at 11, murderers at 8, sexual offenders at 7. I mean, come on, I'm reading an article right now where it says a second grader was the one that killed I can't even It was a group of first graders that got killed in that Connecticut school. Okay?
Yeah.
How old was the plaintiff? How old was the perpetrator?
I'm telling you, these kids gotta stay away from them damn video games. That's where they think they're invincible. You know? Okay, let me take a bus to school. Let me see what can happen. Let me take a knife to school. Let me see what can happen. These people came back to life in this video game. Let's see if they'll come back to life in this video in this life. And it doesn't happen that way. You know, these kids are so mind, you know, that it's like they think that everything is a video game. They think that if they get killed, they come back to life. It doesn't work that way. You only get one chance. You're damn lucky if you get a second chance.
The 7-year-old boy came to Wave Preparatory Elementary School in Far Rockaway with a gun. The police went to the 7-year-old boy's house, left their house a mess looking for this boy's gun. Okay, 7 years old.
Jeez.
With a real gun. And you know what? Here's the father. There's a father standing there having to be called down to get it. You got girls in Queens Junior High School that feel that the gangs are so prevalent there that she's compelled to do whatever they say. She has to have sex with 17 boys, sometimes in the school itself, become a member if she had any type of chance at feeling safe in school. And only way she can get out of it is to be beat up horrendously. Question is, how did it even get to the point where these guys can become gang members and be so prominent? You think these young kids maybe didn't get the foot up their behind that we got? The switch weapons, the going into picking your own beating weapon?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I had a weeping willow tree in the backyard. And I was ready to go cut down at least four of them, and my mother would braid them up. That wasn't a real comfortable situation.
And the neighbors that were able to do it, and the church members that were able
goodness.
To do it.
Oh,
my
wow.
goodness.
That's close.
The teachers that were able to do it. Right now, these are some disgruntled school safety officers. They're looking at your children like every one of them that come in is a criminal.
Yeah.
Why
should we need police in the schools? Get the police out of the schools. Put the parents in the schools. Those
yep.
are their children. Mm-hmm. Those are our children.
That's right.
Get them back in the schools. That's
out.
Who's supposed to be there, not police. This is not. These are not prison camps.
Well, now with the
you only need police or officers of the law around criminals. When you put police officers in the schools, you're basically training these kids to be like criminals.
To be criminals, yep. To be just like criminals.
They used to have in New York, I don't know how they do it in other states, but they used to have a truancy van that would drive around the schools during
right.
school hours. They would
right.
always have an actual NYPD police detail be around the schools during school hours and after school hours, just in case things went above and beyond school regulations. What happened to that? Now everybody.
Yeah, I remember.
Big blurred line.
I had to duck a few of them, so I remember.
yeah, I remember. The truant officer that came to your house instilled fear in you.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
were afraid when a truant officer came to your house with a clipboard stating that you were absent or cut so many times. You were afraid
yeah.
from him and from your parents, too.
Yeah.
You know, I remember yeah. having to explain to my mom that I didn't cut class. It was that I came late after the attendance was already marked. You know?
Right.
And so they mark you absent. You have to go back to third period in order for you to get, you know, re-signed in. But she was like, what do you mean you're cutting? And my mom couldn't speak English, but she would tell me in a split second in Spanglish. What do you mean you're cutting school? Okay, and I was ready to get the rolling pin or whatever chancleta she had, or big slipper with the straps on it. And she was an expert shoe throwsman. She was an expert. She couldn't see very well, but she could definitely catch you where you stood. You know, so for those of you government people that are walking out there trying to say what abuse is, you don't have a clue. What abuse means.
You're dead right.
Abuse is when the parents don't do a damn thing and they become bullies and pimps and prostitutes and killers.
Yep.
Because people like you stood there saying that, you know, you hit your child with a belt. I think you need to go to jail now. Let's take the child out of the home and put them into a foster home. Into another stranger's home with a bunch of other troubled kids in there that don't know each other from Adam. And
yeah,
the only supervision you give them is that you have a very disgruntled social worker that pops up here and there everywhere at her free time. Only to do it when she looks at her little checklist and says, oh, my God, I was supposed to fill out the I-14s and the blah, 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 blah by such and such date, and I'm way behind.
Mm.
These children are being terrorized in school, victimized in school, becoming criminals in school. Nobody's coming out with a degree in law. Nobody's coming out with a degree or a diploma. They're coming out with a tattoo and a brand.
Yep. Oh, my goodness, speaking of tattoos and oh, my goodness. I used to work with my brother at a photography studio, and they travel. They travel within the 5 hours and out of the state. And these are they do school some senior portraits for these high schools and also junior high schools as well, you know. And I've gone to, I don't know how many high schools I've gone to, and every time I dress a girl or dress a boy up in the tuxedo or in the drape, I see tattoos. I'm like, wow, how old are you? How old are you? Oh, I got this up for my 15th birthday. Word?
Oh,
you got a tattoo on your neck for your 15th birthday? Wow. And I see more tattoos.
It doesn't help that some of these parents are letting these young girls wear these what they call in Jamaica, these punani shorts and all these other things that's going on.
Yeah.
Some of these little girls are 3 and 4 years old. They're 8 and 6. Listen, 8-year-olds might as well be 13-year-olds nowadays with the way they develop.
Yeah.
Okay, I see a little too many people thinking it's cute to say, oh, look, that's her little boyfriend. No.
Yeah. No, I don't play that. No.
That ain't cute. As I would say to them, that's not a cute thing to say. All right, I've got two twin boys that they come home every day telling me, oh, I have a girlfriend. Oh, now that's not my girlfriend anymore. It's this one. That's not cute.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Because what used to be cute in our day is a whole big different story in this day.
Yep.
These women are out there getting their girls' hair and nails done at 4 and 5 years old, at 6 and 7. These ladies do their beauty pageants and throwing these kids into these kids' beauty pageants.
What in the world is a 5 or 6 year old doing with hair extensions?
Yep.
Or high heels
and makeup. You have lost your mind.
I truly believe that woman is living her life through her daughter. Okay?
Basically.
I truly believe that lady is trying to live her lost life through her daughter. And I don't see the appeal.
It sounds like that.
That's what's happening. She's living her life through her daughter. She's giving her daughter, and by the way, not for nothing, she's a Caucasian mom. I haven't seen any social workers bursting down her door for all that crap she's feeding her daughter in a bottle to keep her alive and keep her energetic and awake for pageants. She admitted that she put some liquid concoction together. So that she calls it what, go-go juice? Has anybody taken that crap to the lab to go test and see what she's giving her child? But I can guarantee you, if she was sitting up there of the other color persuasion, there would have been investigations. Greg Horn beat his two daughters fully clothed with a strap because they were prostituting themselves on video. Or about to get there. And he went to jail. A woman shot freaking warning shots in the air against an abusive husband and got 20 years. But this woman could give her 5-year-old daughter go-go juice?
Huh.
She could dress her child up in seductive clothing because it's America's beauty pageant for children? Are you serious? And you wonder why the hell we have prostitutes out there now? That are barely even preteen? You're letting these girls roam the streets, and nowadays these girls are developing quick. These boys are developing quick. The hormones are harder. The body parts are quicker. Why on earth would you sit there and solicit these girls?
Yeah.
I had a debate with my daughter. No makeup. Listen, makeup okay. You could do lip gloss at 15. I make up a little bit further down the line. Don't start asking me yet. You're putting hair extensions in a 5-year-old girl. You're putting more makeup on her eyes than the actual case comes with.
Oh, yeah. I have my own thoughts on that one, too. I know, I think she's 3 years old, and the mother, she's like, oh, I think it's cute when she puts her eyeliner on and all that. I'm like, are you serious? She's only 3 years old. Her skin is too young for that garbage. But until she's older, like I could say, maybe when she's in college, putting some makeup like that. I mean, this girl was putting on eyeliner, lipstick, mascara, eyeshadow. I said, whoa. I'm like, no, that's too much. And she said, oh, I think it's cute. I said, I don't.
I truly believe that type of a competition should not be allowed to be run for no tiny girls. Because you know what? It's bad enough that grown people in these Miss America, Miss Texas, Miss College, Miss whatever pageants, already are in a competition where they got to feel that they have to overdress and over tuck and do all these things to be in the running, to become what people are saying is the next beauty queen or whatever the case is. Why the hell would you want to put that on some child at this age? These girls are supposed to be loving Barbie dolls at this moment or whatever new brat style is out. And even nowadays, the dolls that they're buying is promoting, certain images for beauty. Barbie was a size 1 waist perfectly coiffed hair all the time. Only Barbie dolls had the perfect of everything, whereas if you want to buy anything else, you get the little plastic shoes that could break off in a minute. They don't even fit the feet right. But Barbie dolls were perfectly everything.
And not even a Barbie is perfect anyway, you know? Not even a Barbie is perfect.
Oh, please. And then when they finally decided to cash in on ethnicity by, you know, expanding Mattel's, you know, Barbie ethnicity, what they did was they went overboard. They gave Bloomingdale's had a big old fight, a big old controversial article placed in the paper many years ago. It was a couple of decades ago, where they had their annual Christmas display with the Barbies in their window. Okay, well, they had Caucasian Barbie in a business suit with a briefcase and, you know, perfectly coiffed hair, and she was walking with and looking all successful. Let's move along now to Spanish Barbie. Latina Barbie had a basket of rice on her head with the little colorful skirts and a kid on her arm and bangles. And also on the other arm, she was carrying another type of food. Let's move on to African American Barbie. She had a jeans jacket, a jean miniskirt, a purse on her, and three kids attached to her.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot about that.
Wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, that's what they believe of us, that all we can do is just have babies and go outside and talk crap about each other. They have the nerve to sit there and believe that we're the violent and savage ones. And I don't know. Tell me who the Unabomber was. But you know what, parents, getting off of that, you need to go into schools and you need to find out from your particular child. Now listen, if there are 500 students in the school, and each of them have a parent or a guardian that's responsible, if each of you went in and asked about your one kid, your one child, or if you are a mother of five or six like me, your five or six children, okay, you got 500 people advocating and finding out what's going on with the kids in their school. And you know what? If you found out that one of yours was the problem, you are that one person that can make a difference by taking off whatever switch, whatever foot, whatever talk, whatever punishment that it takes to get through to that one kid, and you need to put it in place. And then you need to allow a teacher who you know really cares about your kid to have a little bit of say-so and a little bit of authority. Because if you got to go to work, if you have to be at work, you're not going to be able to see what your child is doing in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers have every right to say, you belong to your mom and dad anywhere from after 3 o'clock till 8 the next morning. When you come in here, you belong to me. Because
exactly.
This is my world.
That's right.
And that's exactly the way a parent should help to adhere to that rule, because if a child understands that a teacher has their own royalty in the school and the parent will respect that, and a teacher understands that a parent definitely has all royalty over their child and they can respect each other's roles in the other one's life, in the child's life, you would have a great alliance right there. And then the two of them could say, yes, I'm mad about the community problems too. Let's go talk to our church leaders. And then the church leaders should get mad and go, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now all of us need to go together and go put some pressure on the people we voted in. But if the chain of command is broken from the very beginning and from the very bottom, how is it going to be any efficiency to our children? Where is the effectiveness going to come to our children? They're so busy being swathed around or smacked around or dismissed off to the next person who wants to point the finger at them. They're not going to listen.
Yeah.
Then being your child's friend is not going to help them understand a line of difference either. So we have to be the first ones to go in there and find out what's going on and let the next people up the ladder do what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to fight this somehow. The law says freedom of speech. It didn't say freedom of taking my daughter and turning her into a prostitute.
Amen.
The Lord, they said I'm allowed to feel and dislike anything I like. They didn't say I'm allowed to go and pick up somebody and bang them in the head to make them a part of a gang. Yeah, so I'm disappointed with the fact that almost every public school in New York City, in every borough of New York City, is being deemed to have this going on as if it's a regular part of the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
While we're on the subject of school safety, let me try to school all of you parents out there on how it works. All right? If you go to the Bureau of Student Enrollment and you tell them that your child needs a safety transfer, first they're going to tell you that the action needed to have taken place on the school grounds or somewhere dealing with the school. Secondly, you're going to need to prove show a police report, and the school officials are going to have to get involved with that. But however, even after they grant it, if your child's grades are down, their safety don't mean a damn thing to the Board of Ed. Because the only place that they'll do is move you from one bad place to another bad school that they know have the same exact activity going on. Which is backwards as hell, because the idea of a school is to teach a kid how to get high grades.
Yep.
By giving a damn about what happens to them in the classroom.
That's
New
right.
York City, hello. You're sitting up there and saying that my child's safety is only important if you're scoring an A+. And you're sitting there saying that we're not going to stand for crap in our schools if it's a high-performing school. Because you know what? If it's one of the inner city schools, to hell with it. We're not going to enforce the rules there. Let them people knock each other around and kill each other.
That's a form of racism, because you're causing separation between children, and that's not right. You know, if you want to look at it in the spiritual part, okay, it's just like Jesus went to be with people that needed him, that were sick. Okay, these high-powered so-called above everybody else priests and stuff, supposed to be a high priest, they didn't need Jesus. The people that were sick and that were out there sinning in the world every day, they needed him. And it's just like it's the same way in the schools. The schools that they're not up to par with their grades and everything, those are the ones you need to be focusing on. Because the ones that are getting all these high grades, they don't need much help.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be focusing on the ones that are having more problems. You need to give them more attention than you do the other ones that's not having much of a problem. And start using some of them to help teach the ones that need the help.
Exactly.
Why on earth would you want to fix the repaired?
Yeah.
Why would you
want to fix something supposed to work? Yeah, you can't fix something that doesn't need to be fixed. Come on, that's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you got. So, oh my goodness, it's like you got so many people that's in this federal government. They're so smart, they're stupid, because they're parked on dumb, and you know they're stuck on dumb. You know, parked on dumb and really getting penalized on stupid. Come on.
It's getting very scary, you know, but that it doesn't seem to be, the parents are fighting. So like everybody is just saying, oh, well, that's gangs. Oh, well, that's crime. It happens.
Yeah, come on now.
Leave it alone. You can't leave it alone. Because if New York City is requiring that you have to enroll your child in a damn school, and then they turn around and don't give a damn about how that school is being run.
Yeah,
and the people who are supposed to enforce safety is not even caring that it's unsafe. And what exactly are you supposed to do? You know what? To hell with public schools and let's homeschool our children.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's homeschool our damn children, and let's tell the damn United States Department of Education that they need to make sure that that homeschooling gets full support like the school, public schools do.
Right.
Because the only damn thing that they care about public schools for is because they're getting all their money right back. And if that's what the hell this world is, or that's what my child's safety is worth to you, then I'll keep them right at home, thank you.
That's right.
You're going to send them to another a place where another group of kids don't have parents or supervision or things to that effect that you're trying to give your kid, and it's perfectly okay? Because when the parents can't supervise, the supervisors are not supervising in the schools because they're just tired, they're aggravated, ain't their kid?
Hmm. Yeah.
The cops change their motto on the sides of their patrol cars. It no longer says to protect and serve. It's just courtesy, professionalism, and respect. Neither one, either of them do. They stop protecting and serving, and you can barely find a courteous, professional, respectful cop anymore. And to those of you out there that truly are still in the game for the game for what it stands for, I commend you. But your colleagues are a big majority that's blanketing and smearing all of that's left and good of the police force. And our children are now just being looked at as potential suspects. So parents, what are you going to do? You can't just sit up there and get your 15 minutes of anger on Facebook or stand in front of a news camera who's investigating something in the neighborhood to go, I saw it happen, and that was what happened. That's right. You need to get up there and do something after you saw it happen. Go to your councilmen and your city hall meetings and your community meetings and tell your leaders that you're tired of the bullcrap. That something needs to be done because you can't even walk the streets with your child anymore and not worry that there's something around the corner trying to get them. When your child can't go to school and be safe and they start to feel like they're in Rikers Island or Sing Sing somewhere instead of in an algebra class, that's a problem. It's not a way of life. It's not something that happens. It's a problem.
Yep.
Yes,
it's a problem. Are you saying that it is what it is to your child? Are you telling your child that there's nothing you could do? Are you telling your child that they just have to grow up learning to accept that that's the way it is, that gangs run things, that criminals run things, that cops don't give a damn, that there's nothing you could do, that don't fight, just lay back and take it and pray, they don't pick you next? Is that what you're saying?
That's a lie. That's a big lie from the depths of hell. Yeah.
Walk the halls.
What our children need to see is their parents standing up for what is right and not laying down for what is wrong. That's what these kids today need to see. And they're not getting that right now because some of these parents are acting like they have fear in their heart. God does not give us the spirit of fear, you know, and especially the ones that call themselves believing in the Creator. Come on, act like you believe and step out on faith and let's walk and start walking in this authority that we have been blessed with and stop sitting back and being little wimps. We have people that have set a foundation for us years ago that are no longer here with us, but they're here with us in spirit, but we act like they never did exist. So we need to wake up, people. It's long overdue to stop walking around sleepwalking, because right now we're doing nothing but walking into each other and walking into brick walls. Let's start getting our eyes open. You know, we can't keep letting us be walking around with the blinders on. It's time to take those blinders off and let's see all reality. Come on now, it's time to make a difference. It's long overdue.
And what's sad is that there was the statistics in the chart statistics here that they have is with all this police presence through the school safety officers, I'm saying, that's in these schools, there's more concerned about treating the students coming in as criminals, not saying that what they see and what they know is belonging to what whatever activity. But every child is being treated that way coming in. And to top it off, they've been enforcing their laws or whatever on nonviolent things, such as the children had a one-on-one fight with each other or call each other name and there was some shoving going on. That's what a guidance counselor is supposed to do, not a cop.
Right.
Cops are supposed to be there to enforce the dangerous crap.
Oh, my goodness. Guidance counselors today, they don't know what they're doing. It's like either they scam someone or they just, you know, don't want to do their job. And that's what most of these guidance counselors are. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the hell they're doing in that position. Most of them don't belong there.
Sadly enough, Lady Diamond, half these guidance counselors don't give a damn about knowing what needs to be done.
They don't.
What they care about is their paycheck that they're getting and what our tax dollars are paying for.
And making it through to 3 o'clock so they can get rid of these troublemakers and go home to their posh little houses. Mm-hmm. Understand, they don't care. I have a high schooler right now that I'm getting notices home, okay, about certain classes that wasn't made or wasn't done. So I call the school and I'm going, well, explain to me why is it that every parent teacher meeting I've ever been to, I gave y'all 9 different ways, 9, count them, 9 ways to contact me. If one didn't work, there were 8 more to go. So explain to me why in 1 month I haven't heard from either of you about a behavioral problem, of academic problem, a missing homework assignment, nothing. When I call and I ask you how's he doing, oh, great kid, no problems. Now you want to tell me that it's gotten so bad you want to put a label on him? And by the way, you're the guidance counselor. You're the one that's supposed to let me know and let him know too. Now, what happened? Who's my son? She didn't even know who my son was. She knew him by looking up his identification number, only to find out that what she sent me home was not even applying to him.
Mm-mm.
But you know, you want me to tell you why this is happening? Because for the simple fact, there are not enough parents, enough of us concerned parents, going there to the schools and making them accountable. And they feel well, we're not worried about it. Nobody's going to say anything. So we can keep doing this and keep getting away with it. We have to start making them accountable. And that's why they're doing what they do. It can no longer be acceptable.
We need to be
cannot be an acceptable act by the school teachers that are receiving our tax money that makes their paychecks and just sit back and be okay with it. That's not acceptable. I'll keep saying it over and over. It is not an acceptable thing. That's why they keep doing what they do.
Guidance counselors used to know their students, know what their own problems were, know they used to know when there was a change in behavior, either for the better or for the worse. They used to know a good happy child, you know, that turned sad and depressed. They used to really be on their game with knowing each of their students. The teachers used to know the parents and what the situations were. PTAs and people really used to help families in need so that there wouldn't be a break or a disruption in that child's education or that parent's ability to be involved. They used to deal with language barriers and making sure there were interpreters.
Right.
That doesn't exist anymore, and not one damn parent out here seems to be making noise about it. Your children are involved with this. Your children got to face this fear at the doors when they walk in. Your children are facing the mean mugging safety officers that's believing that your child is one of many that is nothing but a bunch of troublemakers. It is your damn right to walk down there, and it's your damn job at the same time to go down to that school and make a holler.
Right.
And like I said, if there's 500 kids in that school, there's 500 parents that can make a difference with their one. And I know when I can't go down there, I deem somebody an authorized representative to act on my behalf when I can't make it. I write a notarized letter to the school stating that this person, until further notice, has every right to act as if they're me when I'm not able to be there and relay to me what I need to know when I get home from work. That way there'll be no excuses why I'm at work and I don't know what's going on with my kid. This child has a, this woman or man has the authority to go down and hear from the teachers everything that they would tell me. Everything. That way I'll know what was said, what was done, if my child was involved in something that he wasn't supposed to do or she wasn't supposed to do, and what a teacher said. That needs to be heard and said and brought back to me if I can't be there myself. That way when I go to speak to this teacher, I'll say, listen, I'm informed of this, 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 and this, X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C. What am I missing and what's the difference from your end? It's just crazy. And I it's not just your child. If you see a child next to you whose parents aren't alive yet that's doing something, you should be able to say something to that child. And when the parent does arrive, you should be able to say, listen, I had to tell your son or daughter X, Y, and Z because this could have happened and this is what was happening around them. And if you're a parent that thinks your child does no wrong, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you. If you're a parent that tells your child's teacher not to put them in a corner or not to send them to a principal's office, shame on you. Because your babies are only angels to you, in your mind. They're only angels in your mind. When they turn, when you turn your back and they go out to another place, they're just kids. Susceptible to do anything that anybody else does at their age. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And this is the problem. The teachers are not going to be able to do a thing if they're being restricted by you. The law already restricts what they're allowed to do to your child in class now. The law even tells them how to restrict certain teaching methods. How much more do you want the law to take away from your children? And the law is only involved because they feel that the parents are.
Right.
You can't get upset if you're not doing your part and somebody else says, this is a job that has to get done, whether the right players are in place or not. So we got to do it the best way we can and what we're given. You cannot sit there and not drive the car and then get mad when somebody moves it for you. Now, do you want your child to be governed by you and a teacher, or do you want some pimp telling your daughter how she could walk, talk, dress, eat, and act? Would you rather your switch be on their butt, or do you want some pimp's fist in her face?
Yes.
Do you want the cop telling her which way to walk? Or your son how to duck his head into the paddy wagon? Or would you rather that his guidance counselor tells him he can't play in the yard today? He needs to sit down and listen till he gets his mother or father called up to the school. That's the choices you got to think of every day. Would you rather the teacher who cares say something while you're not there? Or do you want a cop putting his stick on his back and his cuffs on his ankle? You were saying, Deacon Williams.
Well, basically, I don't want any of those things that you brought up to happen to my child, my son or my daughter. You know, I want them to be able to, you know, go through life with their heads held high and feel proud about the way their destination is heading. And that's
mm-hmm.
towards positivity and prosperity in their lives, which they're supposed to have automatically. You know, but you like we said from the beginning, it all starts with a solid foundation at home. If you give your children the tools that they need to go out into the world, and they get to these schools and they're trying to tell them different, they have to know that, well, look, you need to call my parents. be it the mother or father, or if they're blessed enough to have the mother and father both at home at the same time. You instruct your child, well, you need to call my parents and let them know that, that you're telling me the opposite of what they've been teaching me at home. And that parent should be able to get up there to the school, Johnny on the spot, and let's address this eyeball to eyeball. Let's address this. Okay, you're teaching my child what? You telling them what? You telling them to go against what I'm teaching them at home? You know, we have to stay on top of that. If we don't stay on top of that, it's just a waste of time, the time that we spend with our children at home teaching them the right way, you know? Because we have to pray over our children every day before they leave the house, you know, because they have to be well protected when they leave the home, because there are all kinds of negative spirits in those schools. Because you figure if you're raising your child right, not everybody is raising their child right. So, you know, they're going to be around all different types of attitudes. So you have to strengthen them. Say again.
And behaviors. And it starts right at the bus stop that they're waiting on to catch the bus to school.
Correct. Correct.
You know, that's the problem. And the thing is, once you start hearing other parents talking about a fight that took place in the after school, and it's a certain type, there were guns involved, that should be something that you walk up to the next day to the office and ask the principal, what are you doing about that?
Right.
It shouldn't be something that you just go, oh, my God, really?
You know, I visited quite a few high schools here in Toledo, and it just blows my mind the way some of these students are walking the halls and the way they talk to some of these teachers. And, like, some of them, if I'm familiar with them, I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I said, now, I know good and well if your mother or your father was here, there's no way you would be talking to that teacher like that. So, you know, what you need to do is to get the hell out of this hallway and get to your class. I said, you're going to have me to deal with. They're like, okay, Mr. Williams, okay. Because I'm known throughout this little small town. Everybody knows me, and they know I don't play. You know, and I will take them directly to their parent and let them know, hey, look, this is what they were doing. Because basically I've known their parents since they were kids, so... And I've never had a problem. I had some experiences where they want to try and get out the way. And I tell them, I said, look, I've gotten saved, but I haven't got soft, because nothing gets soft but ice cream when it gets hot. So don't play me like I'm soft. You know, I've never been soft in my life, and just because I got saved don't mean that I've gotten soft. So we're gonna sit down and talk about this like adults about your child. And I wouldn't bring your child to you if they weren't in the wrong in the first place. So you got to know that. You know,
wow.
So if anything, I feel as though that I'm helping trying to save your child's life. Because if they run up on the wrong one, running their mouth to an adult that happens to be in a really bad mood, there could be a real serious bad outcome from that. You know, a lot of these kids, they have a lot of mouth and they disrespect their elders. And you can't have that, because, you know, there's no telling what a person's reaction will be, especially when it's coming from a child. Come on, let's get real. Let's keep it 100, y'all. It's not going to be a pretty outcome. And then you're teaching your and if you're not teaching your children to respect the elders that they run across, that's a bad thing, very bad thing.
Because,
you know, you have some real bad nuts out here.
Here's some really disturbing numbers, okay? Now, with these metal detectors against our children, in our children's schools, out of all of the things that they've actually enforced or pushed, 77% of the incidents were non-criminal. 2% was major property theft or loss or stole or stealing. Only 4% of apprehended students actually committed major crimes against other people. And then 17% was other crimes, miscellaneous crimes. Now, the whole idea for these metal detectors is to prevent weapons from getting in. Yet, they some of these schools are not talking about having had a higher percentage of confiscated weapons as they talked about having metal detectors. So now they have this for what? 77% of what these metal detectors detected was stuff that a guidance counselor was supposed to take care of. Why did you have a fight with Stanley in the other class? Why did you push him? You know, these are the type of things that this is what the school safety officers are giving that presence or that ambiance to these children. That's one. Now, the other disturbing thing that I'm seeing right underneath is that this is an old graph. It's from 2000 to 2005, all the school years in between. In the year 2000, they had, from the school year of 2000 to 2001, suspensions totaled 8,567 suspensions that were given in that year. 2002, it went up to 87. In 2002 to 2003 school year, it was 10,000. And then by the year 2004 to 2005, 15,090 students were suspended. And that was back then when the crime or the stuff that we see now wasn't half as prominent. So I'm curious to know, what's the current suspension ratio? That's really disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Yes.
Are you all there?
I'm still here with you.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. It got like silent for a minute. that was the data from the school years of 2001 to 2005. Now, that was back then. 2005, things wasn't as bad still as they are now.
Right.
So my question is, in New York City, Elaine, you and I are here. This is that was New York City's graph, data chart. What the hell is the suspension rate now?
Mm-hmm.
And in 2001, 2000 to 2005, teachers still had control.
Come on.
What the hell would be? I'm really curious. Because funny, they don't have that data chart out right now. 15,090 kids were suspended in 2005 for what?
That's outrageous.
Yeah, I wonder for what. Wow.
That is outrageous.
But then also, Katie, you also have to think about, you know how many schools have closed down already within the past, I could just say 5 years alone? How many schools have closed down, and how many of the schools are still open today that are so jam-packed? And you wonder,
yeah,
you know, wait a minute, how come so many kids are leaving school? How come so many kids are building gangs? How come so many kids are, like, you know, getting suspended? Look how damn crowded these schools are.
The teachers are overwhelmed. The children are undertaught. Listen,
They
even have an overcrowding data chart. All right, let me go to that one. You're closing down everything that these children need, but you're mandating that they go. By the way, the survey on this, the title of it, is A School to Prison Pipeline. What a thought.
Yeah.
Look at school safety, school to prison pipeline. So they're saying that America, in New York and other neighboring states, that our school system is a school to prison pipeline. Do you parents that are listening hear that? Aren't you pissed off?
Oh, yeah.
They should be. I know I am.
I know
especially
I am, too.
Especially if you're a parent that comes home after a long 15-hour workday and still takes the time to sit with your children and ask to see their homework, aren't you ticked the hell off right now? And you wonder why we are sitting here in our own neighborhood giving our money and losing our homes and losing good things and good quality in our neighborhood to people coming in from the outside. I wonder why our own country don't think that the natives in their own land is not good enough. Why is that?
Yeah. Goes right back to because we're sitting back and not saying anything and not holding these idiots for politicians accountable.
Yep.
We need to start saying, hey, oh, okay, look, home is not being taken care of. If you can't take care of home, we don't care about what's going on over there. They got problems and they're supposed to have leaders over there. Let them start fixing their own house and let's fix our house up now. Here it is, we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and we're indebted to what? Of all people, Japan, China? Come on.
And giving our jobs to them. I'm wondering if that's some sort of under the table barter and trade.
You know it is. It's a whole big conspiracy. It's even a conspiracy with the gas prices now. Come on now. We're supposed to be a powerhouse country. We shouldn't be dependent on another country for fuel. Are you crazy? For gas? Oh, come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
It's crazy.
But we're sitting back and we're accepting it. You know, we are high and mighty and all jolly because we have Obama for president, a black president. It don't make no difference if he was purple. Mm-hmm. If he's not making some positive changes in the way things are done here. I give him credit for some things, but, hey, Obama is not God. Don't get it twisted. He is not the savior, that's for sure. The mess that we are in was there long before they allowed him to get into office. And it's not going to be cleaned up or straightened up overnight. So they need to stop pressuring that man to let him do his doggone job.
And they need
because
to
it's not
going to
be done overnight.
Cooperate. Cooperate. Now, we can't go into the White House, but we could damn sure go into the White Office in our children's school.
That's right.
Get angry enough to get up there and use your mouth on your kid first.
Yes.
On your children first. And have that mouth in a parent-teacher conference with your child there. That way, your child can't lie to you and the teacher can't lie to you either. Okay, I'm offended that a guidance counselor doesn't know my child. Because, boy, there's just one too many files sitting on my desk. They can sit around and walk with their little clipboards and assess your child silently and talk amongst themselves about the bad kid that's coming from the bad home. They're not giving a damn about going into your home and finding out exactly why it is that they assess you as a bad kid or a bad home. They don't care if you're struggling and your child didn't have a crust of bread to eat that morning. Even their lunches are no longer quality. So your child may not eat at home, so they go and they have food in school and get sick and still can't study. I'm going to take a small break because we have just a little bit left from the show. No, actually, we will be winding down right about now. So my final remarks, let's start with you, Deacon Williams, because I know that you have to run off to your activities. Deacon? Okay. Elaine?
Yeah?
Let me have your final thought on tonight's topic, please.
Well, my final thought is, parents have to step up. Just like what Deacon Williams said, just like what you have said, what I have said, parents really need to step up. You all know, these parents have to know what is going on in their children's lives, especially in school. They have to join these parent-teacher association programs so they can understand what is going on in the school. These parents will know ahead of time, okay, is this school fundamentally good for my child? Or is this school going to make it throughout the whole year? We already have, like, so many school closings that's already happened. And no parent has gone out, I mean, not that many parents has gone out there to fight for their children or fight for their school. These schools will still be open if they actually fought for it. If they actually stood by the kids and said, no, this school is good, let's keep it going. They closed out, yes, some bad schools, but then still, it didn't help the children. It didn't help the children get them better. It just made them worse. You see most of these kids dropping out of school, going and getting GEDs, maybe.
And then soon, GEDs, you will have to pay for it now. By next year, you will have to pay to take GEDs. And it's crazy. Parents have to step up and see what their child is doing. Pull their child away from gangs. Have their child do other activities. Tell them, this is wrong. This is wrong. They're not going to help you. They're just going to be your downfall in your life. You have to move forward. You have to do better for yourself. Join a sports program. Join something. Do art. Do something else. Music. Music is always the key. Dance. Something to keep them away from any type of violence that's in the school. So these kids, no, you do not take the knife to school. You do this gun. Where did you get it from? No. Check your kids' book bags. That's how, check your kids.
Yeah.
If they have homework, go inside the kids' book bag. You have homework? Let me see. Check the kids, see what's going on. Okay. Yeah, all right, so everything's fine. See a knife taking over? Don't go, if you see a knife in there or a gun in there, what is going on there? You're like in the second grade. Why you have this in there? What is the reason? What is going on? I mean, it's not only about games that these kids are playing, but something must have happened in the school to make the kid upset. You have to fight it. Find a way. Sneak in. Tell the kid, listen, even though you see me here and I'm going to work, you never know when you're going to bump into me. And make sure they bump into you and see you. Oh, wait a minute. My mom and dad is around. I better be good.
Okay.
Real fear in these kids.
I have to wind down. We have a last few seconds. I will say this. I agree with you totally. Parents, get angry. Start with your child. Get angry, okay, and do something. Do what you have to do and get involved. Okay, listeners, thank you very much for joining in tonight. Deacon Williams, thank you. Elaine, thank you. And
again, no problem.
Our listener count is now at 8,667 people. I appreciate all of you still tuning in to the archives, to the replays, to the live streaming. I appreciate it. Until tomorrow night. Please, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, get angry and
That's
make
right.
some progress, okay? Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless you.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.